You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of December 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we had some very sad news yesterday and I do recommend people listen to Grandpa Dan's podcast yesterday if they haven't heard yet. He's been diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma skin cancer in one leg, and he's broken his foot on the other leg. And living in America, they don't have a socialized healthcare system, so he has to pay for his healthcare. So, and he can't work at the moment because of the broken foot. So he's in a bit of a bad way. So if anybody can afford to donate, please do donate to him. If any of our listeners are experienced in medical issues and can offer any advice or help, then please do get in touch with him. And of course, do pray for him. And he wants to continue doing his podcasting, obviously, help him to keep his mind off things and help him to keep up his morale. And he seems to be taking it very well, actually, and just seeing it as another challenge that has been thrown in his path, another temptation to his faith, which is strong, obviously. So we wish him all the best, and I'll be podcasting with him on Friday, same as usual. We've got three news stories to get into today. One of them is a hate crime hoax. The next one concerns ethnic loyalty. And the last one is to do with conversion therapy, if we manage to actually get through all of them. Because I often have three stories to get through, and I only manage to get through one or two. But this first one is quite clearly a hate crime hoax, but this is not being pointed out by the newspaper, of course. The newspaper is a local newspaper. It's the North West Mail. They say, readers react after a Nazi graffiti scrawled on the memorial that honours Barrow's war dead has been roundly condemned. A swastika was daubed on the cenotaph in Barrow Park, which bears the names of nearly 900 soldiers killed in combat, alongside the names of two far-right groups. And this picture of a swastika is very, very badly drawn, of course. The names of the two far-right groups, they don't actually put in the article, but it basically says PANW and Britain First. So straight away, that tells you that that is a hate crime hoax. Somebody is not going to put the name of Patriotic Alternative, who are ethno-nationalists, and what they mean there by PANW is the Northwest region of Patriotic Alternative, and then also put the name of civic nationalists like Britain First next to them. It's like putting together two competing organizations. If you're involved in nationalism, you either support Patriotic Alternative or you support Britain First. You don't support both of them. So that is one sign that this is a hoax. Another sign that is a hoax is that Patriotic Alternative Northwest were at the cenotaph paying their respects to the soldiers that were killed in combat, laying a wreath and giving speeches to honour them just a few weeks back. On Memorial Sunday, all the various Patriotic Alternative regions spontaneously went and laid wreaths and said prayers and speeches for the war dead. I mean, we honour our war dead. It's very important to us. And this wasn't a directive that came down from Mark and Laura. It was just each one of the regions decided that they wanted to do something about this and to show our respects. We respect our country. We love our country and we love our people. And the last thing that any of us would do is to desecrate a war memorial. I mean, that's horrific. After actually putting these wreaths up, there was a video that was put on Twitter of some left-wing group picking up a patriotic alternative wreath and throwing it in the bin, just desecrating a memorial that has been left behind by somebody for the war dead. I mean, it may have been left by somebody who had relatives there, and that was a memorial that they had left. I mean, absolutely sickening behaviour to desecrate somebody's memorial that's been put there. And of course, nobody points this out in this article. They say the vandalism has been described as disgusting and shocking, and of course it is. And then they say it is the second time in 3 months that Nazi graffiti has been left in the park. And I would suggest that it's the left that are leaving that in the park. It's people on the left that have done that. You can tell that by the terribly drawn swastika. You can tell that by the fact that they put Patriotic Alternative and Britain First on there. I mean, what sort of criminal leaves a signature at the place where they're committing a crime? And what sort of nationalists support civic nationalism and ethno-nationalism? And then they come out with a list of names who are quite rightly appalled at this. John Eccles said, absolutely appalling and disgusting that anyone can do this. They have zero respect. Yes, and I agree with them, totally agree with that sentiment. Why did the newspaper not go to Patriotic Alternative to ask them for their views on this? Because quite clearly, they would utterly condemn this as well. And they would point out that it is highly unlikely that that was actually carried out by anybody in Patriotic Alternative, highly unlikely for that matter that it was carried out by anybody in Britain First either, who are also patriots and also honour our war dead. And it's ludicrous to portray this as if this was carried out by any nationalist. And this is so often the case. I mean, this happens in the same week that Jussie Smollett was found guilty for staging a hate crime hoax against himself in America. The majority of these instances where you see swastikas put on Jewish gravestones and things vandalized and then people leave the name of a nationalist organization there, it's so clearly a hoax. What would the benefit be to a nationalist doing something like that? I mean, it's of no benefit to them at all, is it? It just makes nationalists look bad. It's a stupid thing to do. Why would you do it? Nobody would do it. In the majority of these cases, the people that do it are people on the left. And in some instances, they do get found out. And then, of course, they never get the same column inches in the newspaper saying that it was somebody on the left that did it. The biggest case of hate crimes in America happened shortly after Donald Trump was elected, and there were hundreds of bomb threats that were phoned in to synagogues in America, and it was national news. And then it was discovered that the person that was phoning in the bomb threats was a Jewish teenager in Israel. And yet all of these bomb threats are still listed as hate crimes on the Anti-Defamation League's website. These organizations, these left-wing organizations, they count up the amount of hate crimes. And when they discover that one of these hate crimes was a hoax and it was actually carried out by their own people, they still leave that number on there as the statistics and then claim that there's a big increase in hate crimes. So I just wanted to bring this up just to clear Patriotic Alternative's name and to point out the very obvious pointers that show that this was a hoax. And really, you would expect the newspaper to be pointing that out. But of course, they can't tell the truth about the so-called far right, can they? Because they're all signed up to the National Union of Journalists guidelines, which says that they must never portray the far right in a in a good light. They must always be portrayed in a negative light. And the only people you should go to for a quote about the so-called far right is groups like Hope Not Hate, which are completely discredited. And most of their blog is just complete fiction, like recently where they claimed to have attended the Patriotic Alternative Conference. Well, they certainly didn't attend the PA conference. The conference they described was a complete fantasy. Moving on to the next news story that we have here. A Christmas market in Paris's 18th arrondissement requiring that all of the merchants be black has led to allegations of racism and segregation. And I wouldn't be making those accusations. I think it's great. I think, yes, black people should be supporting other black people. It's great to see. The problem is that white people are not allowed to do the same. If we were to advertise that we had a market and it was just going to be white people there and we encourage white people to use white businesses, we would be accused of racism. We would be accused of discrimination. People might even be locked up for doing it. And we would be told, well, this goes against equalities law. But for some reason, it's okay to do this if it's non-whites that are doing it. And as I say, I think it's perfectly right for non-whites to be doing it, but I think that we should all be equal under the law. We should be able to do the same as white people without being accused of being white supremacists for showing loyalty to our own people. And of course, these allegations of racism that have been made against the black people that have organized this, well, we're told black people can't be racist because they don't have enough power in society to be racist. So what is this? Well, it's not racism. It's just ethno-loyalty. It's an extended kinship group showing loyalty to itself, showing ethnocentrism, doing what is the right thing for those people to be doing. So long as they're not being hateful against white people, and there's nothing here to say that they are, then I certainly wouldn't condemn this. I would support this. A Christmas market held over the weekend at the Hassard Ludic Cultural Space in the 18th arrondissement of Paris was organized by the association Je Consomme Noir, I Consume Black, with a focus on products such as food, drink, books, and beauty products made by African and Afro-descendant creators. Brilliant. We should be encouraging our ethnic group to create things, to improve themselves, to make things for the benefit of our own people, to do things for our own people. We should be loving our neighbours as we love ourselves, and that means be ethnocentric. And this is great. We want to see black people being ethnocentric. We want to see Jews being ethnocentric. What we don't want is condemnation of our own group, our own people group, the white people group, condemnation of us for doing the same and showing love for our own people. French newspaper Le Figaro reported on the backlash against the event on social media, quoting some as stating the market was an example of segregation and launching accusations of racism. A volunteer of Je Consomme Noir, however, claimed the association did not want to debate politics. And again, this is the thing. It's not political, is it? It's ethnocentrism. It's beyond politics. It's just doing what you think is best for your own people group. And if every people group in the world was to be doing what is best for that people group, that would be a far better state of affairs for everyone than the system that we have, where we have multiculturalism, where each people group is pulling in a different direction and where there are constant conflicts of interest. I mean, you wouldn't have to have this if you had groups living in separate territories together. There would be no problem here because black people would always be supporting black businesses. The charity that they had, the wealth that they had would be increasing for their people group. And there would be no chance that another people group could be siphoning that wealth out for themselves. And this is the natural way to be, is to live together with your people group and to do what is best for your people group and to have the state and the government dedicated to improving the life conditions and life outcomes for that people group, because you can't do it for everybody, because if you're doing it for one, it means it's at the expense of another. I mean, it really is just common sense here, and it is beyond politics. This whole idea of right wing and left wing, if you're doing what is best for the people group, it's neither right nor left. It is above all of that, and that should be the consideration that our politicians have. This organization, Je Consomme Noir, said, "We don't do politics. We want to convey a positive message by doing things for our community." And as I say, that's absolutely brilliant. This is the response that the volunteer told the newspaper. She added that they had expected to have this kind of criticism and said that customers of all races were welcome at the market. And, you know, wouldn't it be brilliant if we could just do the same as white people? I mean, the same attitude that this black volunteer has here, this is the same attitude that nationalists have, that white nationalists have. And yet we're told that we're somehow racist and evil and white supremacists for having it. Patriotic Alternative have this attitude. You know, they're not discriminating against people, trying to push other people away. We're trying to encourage all peoples to be nationalists, basically. And quite clearly, we're going to concentrate on what is best for our people group. But we're not going to be wanting to do that if it's going to harm any other people group. And Patriotic Alternative very carefully think out their policies so that they can't be seen as harming any other people group. Commercial lawyer Michael Amado stated that the market was not discriminatory despite all the sellers being black, telling the French newspaper that it would be discriminatory to prohibit consumers from coming to enjoy products on the sole pretext that they would not be a part of the organising community. And what he's saying there is this is what happens to white people. We get told if we try to do something like this, if we try to do something for our people, we're told that we're discriminating against everybody else because they're not a part of it. If we have an organization that wants to advocate for white people, we're told we can't have that because it doesn't include everybody else. Yet it's fine for these other groups to do this, and it's right for these other groups to do this. What's wrong is that we are not allowed to do it. Issues around immigration and segregation have become one of the main focuses of the upcoming French presidential campaign, with conservative writer Eric Zemmour holding his first official campaign rally over the weekend to an audience of at least 10,000 after formally announcing his candidacy last week. Zemmour has spoken at length on the demographic shifts occurring in France, as well as the theory of the Great Replacement, with a poll from late November finding half of French people believe in the demographic shift theory. I mean, it's so bizarre that they ask people whether they believe that demographics are changing. I mean, it's quite obvious from the census report that demographic shifts are happening. There is a replacement of white people with non-whites going on all over the Western world. And it's at quite a rapid rate as well. When you think in Britain in 1940, there was less than 1% of the population in the country were non-white. And now we're up to about 15% non-white. If you think in London, where it's up to about 60% non-white now, and white people are a minority, I mean, it's not a question of believing in something. It's not a question of having faith in something. It's just reality. It's what your eyes and your ears tell you. Demographics, specifically birth rates, is a subject also being discussed by other politicians across the political spectrum in the run-up to next year's election, as well as other issues, including Islamist separatism, a matter even being debated by the government of current French President Emmanuel Macron. And of course, after this beheading of Samuel Paty, Macron had to start addressing these things. And also there's the competition there from Marine Le Pen and her organization that's now changed names. It used to be the National Front. It's something else, a French word now that escapes me for the moment. But because of how popular Marine Le Pen is, that has pushed Macron into addressing some of these issues. And now we also have this Eric Zemmour, who is speaking for patriots in Britain and also talking about ethnological issues. So it's really splitting the vote. Eric Zemmour is going to split the vote between himself and Marine Le Pen, which means that Macron is going to get in again, I fear. Among the French public, there is also a growing number of people concerned about anti-white racism, with a poll conducted in June of last year revealing that 47% believe that anti-white racism exists and is an issue in the country. And is it really necessary to add that word racism after that? Because we're told that other races can't be racist. Do Jews say anti-Semitic racism when they talk about anti-Semitism? No, they don't. They say anti-Semitism. So really, we should just be saying anti-whitism here. And 47% believe that anti-whitism exists and is an issue. And it is an issue, because if we were to try and do what this black organization has done, we would be told that we were white supremacists for doing it, and we would be told that we were breaking equalities law. So quite clearly, just from this news story, we can tell that anti-whitism exists. But anyway, it's great to see that black people are standing up for black people and encouraging other blacks to buy from black businesses. I'd like to see the same from white people. This final news story that I've got here is about gender conversion. Ministers are poised to order a climb down on a controversial gender conversion law over fears it could inadvertently criminalise parents and teachers. Following an outcry, they could announce very soon that the government will extend the consultation period on its plans to ban conversion therapy. The law is designed to outlaw the practice of attempting to convert gay children. But under pressure from the transgender rights campaigners, this has been extended to stop therapists trying to help children with gender dysphoria, a mismatch between biological sex and gender identity, to decide whether they really wish to transition. And this is really quite serious. It's very strange. Again, it's all one-sided. They're trying to prevent people from encouraging people that are gay to become straight, but there's nothing there to prevent people from trying to encourage straight people to become gay. And this is what we see all the time at the schools. We see the children being taught that being gay is good. We see all these gay characters that are being introduced into children's cartoons, all these gay clubs that are turning up in schools. We see whenever somebody comes out as homosexual, they're praised as being stunning and brave in the newspapers. I mean, look at Felix Schofield when he was cheating on his wife with other homosexuals. And instead of saying, what a rotter, he's been cheating on his wife, they talk about how wonderful it is that he's a homosexual and how brave he is for coming out and saying this. And all of that is encouragement to people to become gay. And yet they're saying that we cannot have it the other way around. We cannot have straight people trying to encourage people that think they're gay to be straight. And we're not even talking about people that are who are active homosexuals here or are transgenders here. They're talking about people that may be confused about these issues, may be questioning these issues. And the government are trying to make a law, or these special interest groups, rather, are trying to pressure the government into making a law that will prevent people from even being able to discuss it. And they were quite happy to do that when it was just homosexuals. But now that it's transgenders, there's some pushback against this. Campaigners warn that the legislation is so badly drafted that teachers could end up in court if they do not allow children to use opposite sex toilets or let boys play in girls' sports teams. Well, I don't think it's so much about the teachers, because it's the teachers that are encouraging this from what I've read so far. in Scotland in particular, they are saying to the teachers that it's the teachers that can diagnose a child of 3 years old if they've got gender dysphoria, and then the teacher should then start referring to the child by the opposite gender's pronouns and not even tell the parents. So it's not so much that it's these teachers that are that will be talking to these children and telling them the downsides of presenting as the opposite gender, because these teachers have all had to go on diversity training and transgender training, which has been provided by Stonewall and Mermaids, and told them that they have to reinforce whatever gender a child presents as. And therefore, they are not allowed to say, well, this may be autism, this may be an eating disorder, this may be body dysmorphia. Teachers think that they're not allowed to do that anyway. So it's not that these teachers could likely end up in court. The real concern here is what could happen to the parents. The group Sex Matters says parents could fall foul of the law for refusing to use the correct pronoun or for taking children abroad to avoid the people pressuring them into transitioning. Some 2,500 parents, teachers and therapists have written to their MPs via the website of campaign group Sex Matters to protest against the changes. This organisation sounds quite good, this Sex Matters. The woman that's running it, Maya Forstatter, she seems very good. One wrote, "It is not bigoted or phobic to pause and investigate the reasons why a child may report dysphoria." And of course, the dysphoria in itself is a bad condition. It's the opposite of euphoria. It means that somebody is depressed and suicidal. And clearly, you don't want people to be like that. And just changing gender doesn't do away with the dysphoria. These transgenders, they still have gender dysphoria. That's what they have. But if they don't present as the opposite gender and they manage to become happy with the gender that they are and the body that they have, that then they no longer have dysphoria. Surely that's what we should be encouraging people to not have dysphoria at all, rather than reinforcing the dysphoria. A consultation on the new law is due to end on Friday. That was last Friday. But the Daily Mail has been told that ministers are now considering extending it to allow more people to have their say. It follows last week's chaos when an easy read of the consultation document had to be removed because it did not accurately reflect the government's proposals. And I bet that is because these special interest groups had an input in how this was actually written. The proposed law is causing concern in Whitehall, with one senior source saying, "It is crucial enough voices have time to come forwards and express their view of how best to ban conversion therapy. No one wants to see well-intentioned parents, therapists, or teachers in the dock for having legitimate pastoral conversations with children about the complex issue of gender identity." But that is what these homosexual promotion groups are wanting. They are wanting to make it against the law for people to talk to their children, talk to young people, and point out that there is a negative side to all of this. Because all they see is the positive side on the television. I mean, why can't they just make it so that we can talk to people freely? Why is it that we have to have all these speech codes that enforce one particular opinion and one particular point of view? And obviously, I believe that the other point of view is wrong, but I'm quite happy to have people pointing out their point of view. Why is it that people with the other point of view to me, why is it that they don't want to debate the issue? They just want to silence our side of it. Maya Forstatter, founder of Sex Matters, said the government is seeking to ban all forms of talking conversion therapy for under 18s, with the intention of changing their gender identity. They say that this will not include casual conversations, but will include all kinds of counselling. Parents, teachers and therapists are likely to be caught by this. If a child identifies as the opposite sex, any kind of long-term engagement with them to try to get them to feel comfortable as they are, without taking hormones or having surgery, could be considered as talking conversion therapy under this definition. We have heard from parents who have taken children abroad on holiday or to visit relatives to get them out of an environment where they have become convinced that there is something wrong with their body. The proposal for protection orders that could see passports taken away would encourage groups advocating on transgender issues to report these parents to the police, she said. I mean, it's scandalous. It's these groups, these special interest groups promoting transgenderism and promoting homosexualism that are pushing for this. There is no consensus from the people to have this. Your children are your children. You should be able to... And you want what's best for them. And what they're saying is that these homosexual groups are better at knowing what is best for your child than you are. I mean, people have been... There was this song, wasn't there, a while back, this homosexual choir in San Francisco, and they sang this song saying, "We're coming for your children." And that's what they're doing. They're saying that they know what's best for our children better than the parents do. And they're trying to push through these laws to enforce that. One parent who wrote to their MP via the Sex Matters website said, "There is no comparison between young people discovering their sexuality and young people using hormones and surgery to reject their bodies. Parents like myself who want to support their children not to rush into life-changing, irreversible decisions about their bodies should not be treated as bigots or transphobes, and certainly not as engaging in conversion therapy." And they're basically saying, if you have a different opinion on this, then you are a bigot, you are a transphobe, and if any of these special interest groups hear about it, they're going to report you to the police. Another parent wrote of their fear that children are too young to understand the implications of transitioning. "As an adolescent, I would have taken any opportunity to transition from male to female, but I have learned to cope with being me and being male, and I'm proudest in life of my three children. If current proposals on conversion therapy are pushed through, then a gender-questioning child or young adult might never have the opportunity to think through the lifelong consequences of medical transition." So they're effectively saying that they want to ban people being able to talk to children about the negative side effects of this. You wouldn't be able to tell the children that it would make you infertile. It could mean that you would never be able to enjoy sex. You'll never be able to have children. You will always have the same chromosomes of the biological body that you were actually born into. You can't change your bone structure, you can't change your hand size, you can't change your feet size. You would not be able to even tell these things to your children because you would be accused of engaging in conversion therapy. I mean, it's scandalous what's going on here. Hopefully the government won't allow this to go through. This news report came out last week, and what they were talking about is extending the time limit on this. I think they're going to force through this as far as it is concerned with homosexual therapy, conversion therapy, which they shouldn't really do. I mean, if you're an adult and you decide that you want help with homosexual urges and you would rather have heterosexual urges, you should be free to get help with that. That should not be banned. And by the same standards, if you're a parent, you should be able to talk to your child about the negative outcomes that can be expected from the homosexual lifestyle without running the fear of being arrested for this. But it does seem as if the government are going to push through this idea that gay conversion therapy should be banned, and particularly for children. But hopefully they won't push through the same criteria with transgenderism. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.